23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day.
All of these problems are coming from the force of globalization, and it's driven by people, it's not driven by government.
We've had basically rebellion against party leaders that represent around 98% of MPs at Westminster.
Let's get rid of the flag, the anthem, Brussels, and all that has gone wrong.
And I think what we will learn is that you can ride the anger through these populist movements, but you don't actually produce the answers to the challenges that people face.
This is not a decision I've taken lightly. We should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative Party conference in October.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It is 5:08. It is Friday. It's June 24th. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day. Well, they did it. How about that? Residents of the UK have voted to Brexit, to leave the European Union. Remember when you were a little kid and your mom would tell you if you're playing really rough out on the maybe on the rug floor in the family room that you fall, that's going to leave a mark? This is going to leave a mark. We just don't know how bad it's going to be yet. You heard there in the opening that the British Prime Minister has resigned so far. The latest is from the EU this morning. The head of the EU, get your stuff and get out to Great Britain, is basically the message. According to the Agence France Presse organization, the head of the EU says Britain must start the exit process as soon as possible. If they want out, they need to get out as soon as possible. The British Prime Minister has resigned. Markets are tanking this morning around the world, right here at home in the United States. Dow Jones futures are off 497 points this morning. 497 points. This morning, S&P futures off as well, and the NASDAQ futures are off as well, too. Let's do a little bit of recapping here. First of all, let's listen to a little bit of what the head of this movement has had to say. Party leader, UK Independence Party leader, Nigel Farage, this morning, speaking outside of Parliament.
The EU's failing. The EU's dying. I hope we've knocked the first brick out of the wall. I hope this is the first step towards a Europe of sovereign nation states.
This morning also, the head of the Bank of England, Governor Mark Carney, has said that the bank has prepared itself for unstable markets, but that remains to be seen of whether or not they can weather the storm. Here is the Bank of England chief.
This resilience is backed up by the Bank of England's liquidity facilities in sterling and foreign currencies, and all of these resources will support orderly market functioning in the face of any short-term volatility.
Also this morning, Donald Trump has arrived in Scotland. Amazing how that has happened. A coincidence, maybe. The presumptive Republican nominee at his golf course this morning, just hours after the announcement.
Basically, they took back their country. That's a great thing.
Any words for David?
This sort of falls right into his campaign back here in the United States. So what does this all mean? Let's bring in Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's our portfolio manager here and our economic expert this morning. Paul, good morning. Welcome.
Be with you again.
So this is going to leave a mark, isn't it? I mean, is that a fair assessment?
It's in the golf terminology, this is going to be a big divot in the market, yes. We're down probably here in the U.S. and actually up from the bottom. Futures were down on the S&P 500 a little bit over 100 points, and we're now only down 76, so we're getting a little bit of a recovery. We're seeing some of the very early fallout from the vote. The ECB has said, you know, we're going to provide some liquidity. I would expect to see a little bit in the U.S. People are running to U.S. Treasury bonds, some running to gold as safe haven. And we would expect to see this today, a lot of volatility, both on the upside and the downside today, and probably into next week. And it, again, goes back to the Fed decision of holding off on interest rate increases, waiting for this vote to go through. I think once we now have the results, I think any rate increase by the Fed is off the table for the year.
That's another headline this morning. We're also watching the Dow, which is now off about 504 points, the Dow Jones futures. How significant is that, Paul?
It is significant. It's a one-day event. It's not anything that you're going to be able to, I think trading today, unless you're maybe picking up a position or two here or there, I think it's better for investors just to sit on the sidelines and wait for the dust to settle here and see how the markets shake out. Again, the long-run returns on the markets are going to be generated by economic growth, and this certainly is going to put a dent in the growth for a while, but I don't think it's the end of the world just yet.
I know that you've always been very forward-thinking in terms of investing in foreign markets, especially emerging markets. Does the exit of Great Britain from the European Union now make it an emerging market?
I don't think so. All right. It certainly is going to hurt Britain. It's going to hurt their economic growth, and there's going to be knock-on effects. We're already starting to see some ideas about voting a referendum to leave the euro on Europe as a whole. So we're seeing that being floated in Italy and France and other countries. So this may be the first brick that gets thrown at the euro dollar. And as many of these countries realize or are concerned about the loss of sovereignty they've had over the many years that the euro has been existent, there may be some people that are rethinking that that philosophy. So this could be a big transition over the next decade or so. But we'll have to see how that plays out in the financial markets and how that impacts global economic growth.
Did we expect that your UK Prime Minister would resign amid all of this and that there would be sort of a change in government? Or is that a reaction that was unexpected?
You know, maybe unexpected in the short run. I don't think unexpected in the long run, because, again, he was certainly for staying within the euro. The vote by the people against it is essentially a referendum against his government. So now it makes sense for reformation of government in Britain. So it makes sense in the longer run. The fact that it followed so closely after the vote may be a little bit of a surprise.
We're on with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview Asset Management.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors were betting that voters in the UK would choose to remain in the European Union. The results are in, and Britons have voted to leave the EU. Dow futures shed more than 600 points in response to the results. The S&P 500 futures were off 5%. Bank of America has agreed to pay $430 million in settlements in response to charges that its Merrill Lynch unit misused brokerage customers' cash from 2009 to 2012. The SEC says brokerage customers were exposed to massive potential shortfalls. A new survey finds that 93 million credit card holders still get monthly statements on paper rather than online, and 43 million of them prefer it that way. Nearly 50% of those who still get paper statements said they'd be willing to pay for the privilege. And more than $500 million is up for grabs in this weekend's lottery drawings. The Mega Millions jackpot stands at $363 million, also growing the Powerball jackpot, $203 million tomorrow. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
520, welcome back to the program on the WGN Market Desk this morning. Dow futures off 522 points, S&P futures off 79, NASDAQ futures off 166, 3%, almost 4% on the S&P, almost 4% on the NASDAQ, 3% on the Dow futures. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management is with us. Paul, as we have been in the break, one of the leaders of this exit, the Brexit, Boris Johnson in Great Britain, has said that Europe, that he is still, this group now is still part of Europe. The UK is still part of Europe. But we're getting sort of a different feel from the European Union folks about this. They have said within the past half hour, don't expect us to renegotiate any terms to keep Britain in the bloc. So we have differing points of views here. It seems like there's going to be a lot of problems moving forward.
There absolutely will be. And again, because it's such a big surprise to both sides, that obviously the vote was very, very close. But the expectation was that they would stay in the union because it was going to be so very difficult to go forward moving outside of the union. So this process is now just beginning and is likely to take the better part of the next year to really start to see all the impacts that are going on. Again, renegotiating of contracts and such that they discussed. And certainly the European Union is going to be resigned not to do anything with it because, again, Britain has turned their back on them. So they're taking their marbles and saying, you know, we're going to go home and, you know, have a nice life. So it's going to be very difficult for Britain because they've turned their back on Europe, and it's going to be a tough slog for the Great Britain going forward.
But the European Union will sort of be forced to make some concessions, don't you think, because the UK is too big to just not include, right? Or am I just...
Absolutely. But again, they're seeking positions right now. It's still very, very fresh, and certainly a lot of nerves are frayed at this point. But I think really everybody is trying to stake out a position, trying to start that negotiating process and beginning to put their positions forward from which they're going to negotiate.
I saw that the result of the turnout in this referendum was about 72%. That's a pretty good turnout in terms of any kind of election, let alone a referendum. Does that speak anything about the intent of the people there?
It does. I mean, you certainly had a lot of people that had opinions, and they certainly voiced them by getting to the polls. And again, when you take a look at the overall vote, it was extraordinarily close. So there's actually some talk that Ireland may go back and vote separately because they actually voted to stay in the European Union, but voted, and Scotland did as well. So they may go back to say, you know, hey, we want to do this on our own without England.
I can't remember an election here in the United States that had 72% turnout. I not in my lifetime, I don't think. Can you?
Mine either. No, it's been a very, very long time before since we've seen those types of polling numbers.
So what does this mean in the short term and the long term for our portfolios, our retirement accounts on a personal level, Paul?
Well, as we've talked about really all year, we've been very defensive. We've been very cautious with the markets. We've been weighted more toward bonds. Bonds are going to do very well today. And I think some of the defensive parts of the market, so the utility sector, the consumer staples, they will do fine regardless of the outcome here. I think today you really just want to sit on your hands, kind of watch from the sidelines. It's going to be painful to the portfolios. There's going to be some help from the bond portfolio, but it's going to be painful for stocks. And here's where you really want to get your shopping list out. If you want to look at the high-quality stocks, those that are paying dividends, those that have good revenue numbers, you're going to see some stuff go on sale over the next week or two. And you pick your prices and pick your points, and gradually, if you're not fully invested at this point, gradually pick off some very, very good names here.
What do you think might be on that fire sale list, if you had to bet?
I don't think you're going to see a lot of the global companies do poorly today. So again, they're going to be affected by trade. So Procter & Gamble, the multinationals, McDonald's might be hurt here as well. So a lot of those companies that are doing trade globally will probably be those that suffer the most today. Those that are more focused on the U.S. economy and much more domestic, the smaller mid-cap names might fare a little bit better, because they're not as involved in global trade as many of the larger multinationals will be.
So if people out there have been not as lucky to have you guiding their portfolio and they're looking at the markets today and have not prepared for this, are they out of luck, or is there still time to get to a place of safety?
You'd want to exit gracefully. You really don't want to panic in this point. So as we saw just in the overnight session, the markets were down 5-6%. Now we're only down 3-4%. You will get some bounce probably later today, maybe next week, and that would be a better time to maybe take a look at rearranging portfolios if you're uncomfortable with that overall level of risk. And really, that's what we try to assess with our clients first. That's one of the first questions we ask. If your portfolio is down 10%, what do you do? Do you say, you know, don't worry about it, I'm fine, or get me to the nearest exit? And that gives us an assessment of how risky we should set client portfolios.
All right, Paul, thanks for calming us down a little bit. It's hard to be anything but nervous looking at these numbers again this morning. The Dow futures off about 501. The S&P futures off 75. NASDAQ off 159. We'll get through the day with hopefully your calming leadership here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Paul Nolte, Kingsview Asset Management.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell, 537. As we continue the coverage of the Brexit vote, the first Scottish minister is speaking right now in London. Let's listen a little bit live. This is the first minister of Scotland.
Want to see turmoil affecting any part of the United Kingdom. I believe the decision that was taken across the UK yesterday was the wrong decision, a mistake. But I hope very much that some of the fears that were had about it are not realised, because it would not be in the interests of people anywhere in the UK if they are. But I'm not sure that is not more in hope than in expectation. But it is exactly because of the uncertainty and the potential turmoil that we face that I think it is in my responsibility to seek to bring Scotland together, to lead Scotland forward into a position that allows us to continue with the stability and the certainty that membership of the European Union gives us. I am not.
Again, that's the First Minister of Scotland speaking this morning on the Brexit, saying that she's hoping to keep Scotland in the European Union, keep the movement forward with that country. Obviously, there's a lot of fallout from all of this happening across the United Kingdom and elsewhere in Europe. You heard the numbers from the market desk there a moment ago. Some are describing it this morning as carnage in some of these markets. But we're still seeing numbers that are much, much lower than we seen them. Well, we would expect them to be on a normal day, but certainly a little bit better than they were after the initial announcement of all of this. The Dow futures off again about 518 points now, but still that's about 3%. The S&P and the NASDAQ off about 3% as well. Futures trading Europe, most of the indices are well below 4.5% to 5% and as high as 10% in some of those markets. The FTSE in parts of Europe is off about 10%. We saw the DAX in Germany off about 6.5%. So we'll continue to watch those numbers as we move forward through the morning and get more reaction on this. But we want to take you first to London, to the Foreign Desk. ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers is standing by with us this morning. Tom, it seems like quite a mess from the market standpoint. What are people saying over there about what we've seen?
Anecdotally, I got on my train, my subway early this morning, and guess what? Reflecting the numbers, half the people were stony-faced, looked like zombies. They can't take it in. The other half were kind of smiling like Cheshire cats. So that's where it is right now. You got two different camps, and it's oil and water. They're not mixing yet. I guess eventually they have to, but it's very, very polarizing here.
The one thing that sort of stuck out about this to me, Tom, was the turnout. It looks like 72%. As somebody who doesn't follow UK elections very closely, is that a rare thing to see that kind of turnout?
There was a huge turnout a little over a year ago, national election, roughly, as I recall, about 66%. And this is even more important. So, yeah, we knew it'd be higher than the general election, because this is going to affect not only, you know, people today, but their kids, their grandkids, blah, blah, blah. So that doesn't surprise me. Everybody had a shot in this. And like you say, most people went out to the polling stations, 41,000 up and down the country, and cast their X on one of two little blocks. That's it.
Was it a surprise to you that we saw David Cameron put in his resignation?
I didn't know how that process would unfold. I thought his position would become untenable, but he decided to go for it very, very quickly, saying he's gonna be, you know, hanging around for just a few months. There's the party conferences here. Every party has them in the fall. He says he'd like to have somebody new in place and elected by the Conservative Party conference. That's in October. So, yeah, we're going to be moving pretty quick on that one. Somebody else is going to come in, and their job is going to be to have the energy and the ability to disentangle the UK from all of these agreements that have to do with Brussels. And it's not going to be easy. It's like if it was a divorce, it'd be a nasty divorce, a lengthy one, not a quickie one.
And the nasty divorce aspect, that's a very good way of putting it, because the statements that are coming out of the EU this morning seem that like that. I thought at first I was putting my own tone on it, but it's good to hear you say that, because the EU is sounding very much like get your stuff and get out to the UK. Yeah.
Clean out your locker. And, you know, there's also the side message to other countries. They have to play hardball because you got other countries lining up going, getting a sniff of a referendum. They're going, maybe we should have one too. Denmark, one of those countries. Netherlands, Sweden might. Austria, there's some groups there that would like to have it. So guess what? They got to try to contain this thing. Otherwise, the whole thing's going to be splitting off left, right, and center. And it's going to be, they're going to have a big, big problem on their hands if that happens.
Yeah, I heard Boris Johnson just wrapping up a news conference a little bit ago. He's sort of echoing that, saying a stone has fallen out of this wall. And it seems like that. It seems to be the example people are using is that a stone is out of this big wall and it's going to eventually come crumbling down. Is that a real possibility?
It's a real possibility because that stone, it's not an Eastern European country that joined two, 3 years ago. This is one of the cornerstone bricks in the wall, an important one. And if it's time for Britain to leave, others are saying maybe their time will come too in a short period of time. So watch this space. The final chapter has not been written yet.
I have to ask you, is immigration the biggest reason behind what we've seen in this vote? Is that the biggest issue in all of this?
Two issues. One, the economy and how best to help the average person out there. The other one was immigration. And of the two, immigration is much more emotive. People are much more passionate about that. They say, you know, Britain is an island nation. No, we can't take everybody in Europe that wants to come here and live here and be a student here and work and all that kind of thing. So that's really important. And that argument on the Leave campaign really resonated with a lot of folks saying, I'm sorry, but we got to put up border controls again.
Did we ever hear from the Queen where she stood on all of this?
There was a leak a few months ago that somebody got their hands on a quote, a third person in some public engagement that she had made a remark that maybe it'd be best to leave. But that was shot down by the palace. So we don't really know. They can't get involved in politics of the day. Although they are, you know, the monarch is the head of state, they can't get involved in the rough and tumble of politics, because then they open themselves up to even greater calls of republicanism, which is a small r here, meaning not a political party in the States, but wanting to have an elected head of state. So they don't touch it with a barge pole. They just stand back and smile. They don't publicly get involved in this stuff.
Some of the European watchers of the markets there are calling this carnage on some of the European markets. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, it's pretty. You know, well, we knew there'd be real short-term pain. We're feeling that. You know, when will it bounce back? Who knows? We have to talk to some experts, and maybe they could say in a few days or a few weeks, whenever. But it's taken a hit. So how does that affect the average person out there? Well, if they have a property, their home is probably worth a little bit less today. 2 years from now, will it be back? It may well be back to where it is. As far as your pension, if you're near retirement age and you're a UK citizen, you know, you might feel a hit in your pension. If you're 25 years old, don't worry about it. Over the decades, you know, it'll float back up to where it was. But short term, it's going to hurt. Medium term, it's going to be felt. Long term, if they do it right, it'll be gain for this country. But we're not there yet.
All right. Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent, with us from the Foreign Desk this morning on the Brexit vote in the United Kingdom. A big story that we'll be following all throughout the morning here on 720 WGN and with Your Money and on the Steve Cochran Show.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:50. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Market Desk this morning. The Dow futures off now 550 points. The S&P futures off 80. NASDAQ futures off 171. Orion Samuelson joins us now. Good morning, Orion. I'm curious how all of this is going to impact the corn and the wheat and the cattle and the pigs.
Well, I think it'll have an immediate reaction, but as I've learned over half a century of covering markets, there's one rule that never fails. Prices never go the same way forever. There is always a correction. And the thing about a market like this that concerns me is people who are depending on their portfolio to see them through retirement really get frightened when you have something that jars the market to this point, and they want to sell. And selling on a sharply lower market, I don't think, is ever good. So we'll just have to ride it out, and it will probably affect prices momentarily, at least. It really has nothing to do with the production of the crops here in the United States, and people still have to eat. So we'll watch the impact and wait for the aftermath to take place. Meanwhile, in the world of agriculture this morning, we do have a positive story if it continues to go, because of the failure earlier this spring of the House and the Senate to get together on a National Food Labeling Act. Next week, on the 1st of July, the Vermont law will go into effect that says they will have special labeling on the GMO issue only for products sold in Vermont. And that's created a tremendous amount of interest on the part of the food industry and consumers and farmers and so on. But the National Corn Growers Association, for example, yesterday said Vermont's mandatory law requiring on-package labels of foods containing ingredients that have been genetically modified takes effect July 1st. And unless Congress acts now, families, farmers, and food companies will face chaos in the market and higher costs. But this week, the National Corn Growers Association reported that Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts, the Republican from Kansas, ranking Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, put together an agreement after failing to do so about a month and a half ago. They've been working on it and apparently have success. So the agreement was announced yesterday that will address the growing threat of the patchwork of state labeling laws that we were facing. Now, all of agriculture urging the Senate and the House to act on the legislation as quickly as possible so that we can avoid that July 1st deadline on the Vermont labeling issue. President Chip Bowling, who is a farmer from Maryland, he's president of the National Corn Growers, said the introduction of this solution comes at a critical time when Congress must act to restore sanity to America's food labeling laws. So we'll see how quickly Congress can act on this one, because they're not acting very quickly on anything during an election year. Response to some emails saying how bad is the corn crop because of the storm, the blowing and the wind earlier this week. Well, when you take a look at 94 million acres of corn planted in the United States, it would take a huge windstorm to impact the yield and the production of corn. To the farmer whose corn was flattened, yeah, it's a setback, but nationally, probably not that much. But there were pictures of corn being blown flat. It's early enough in the season that most of that corn will come back, stand up, and make it through harvest. But it did cause concern that I heard from quite a few listeners, particularly in the city, saying, my golly, is the corn crop gone? No, it's not.
Well, that's good to know. And, Oren, you have a good weekend, and we'll stay in touch with you throughout the morning to see how things are going on the commodities market after this Brexit vote. But it looks like it could be a rough day, and then maybe we'll smooth things out.
Yeah, I think it will be. And Steve Alexander will be in. One sad note, we'll be flying to Cedar Rapids today to attend a celebration of life for a gentleman who was well known in agriculture, Marty Andreas, who held several corporate positions at ADM. I called him the godfather, the Billy Graham of the ethanol industry. He promoted ethanol like nobody else I know, so we'll be there for a celebration of life for the passing of Marty Andreas.
All right, good. Good thing. All right, Oren, thank you very much. 5:55, that is our program for today. Again, we'll follow your money throughout the morning here on WGN.